It is part of the business of my associates to discuss methods of reform, and we have ample opportunity of experimenting, and thus to determine the most efficacious course of procedure, for there are many, so many cases in the physical life that should be reformed on earth, if possible, and if not there, then there are the slowly rolling ages of eternity on the spirit side in which the work must be done, and of course, the sooner the better. But some cases baffle us for a long time. So many do not desire to develop. They imagine that to remain in vice is only pleasurable experience to them. They see pleasure in no other way, and they presume there is no other way of pleasure. We have several cases just now. We have to surround them with the most harmonious conditions possible all the time, and did we not realize that we have duration to infinitude for our work, we should, sometimes, despair of success. One of our cases we have had in charge for 75 years of your time, and he is just beginning to learn. He seemed all the while to enjoy his lower state. He did not, in fact, even suspect there was any other enjoyment possible. But since he sees conditions of a better life, he is gaining very rapidly, and the good traits that were dormant all these years are being brought out, and he begins to feel himself as being born again, and now he will rapidly climb the mountains and bound away toward the real glories of an unfolding life in the spirit world. But some are vastly more stubborn. Still, we work faithfully on, knowing that eternity is ours in which, at some period, all our well-begun works must be accomplished. 609. Treat a savage animal kindly, and persistently so, for a long time, and the animal gradually grows to be good, but on the other hand treat a kind animal viciously, and it soon becomes vicious. In very rare cases do you find force efficacious in taming the wild animal, or modifying the disposition of a domestic animal toward more civility. So with people on earth and in the spirit world. Hence we have organizations for the work of determining the best methods of favorably modifying low and dark conditions of earth and spirit life. In your world you have courts, asylums, dungeons and penal institutions, but when the people of earth will have learned the true laws of harmonious unfoldment, your courts, asylums and penal institutions will be abolished, though the whole will depend upon an entire change in the fundamental groundwork or basis of society in all advanced nations. But one thing you should know and remember, you must be good in order to reach the higher spheres. You may be able to fool your neighbors and companions, but you cannot fool your own internal consciousness. Cato 610. A form covered with a white robe spake with commanding voice, beginning in foreign tongue, announcing, occasionally, a Latin word, gradually getting to English, speaking the words as though some one was speaking the words and he repeating, and he said, I am Cato 611. When I approach your world of conditions, I feel them so strongly that I must express them, and so I feel and see that your world is full of grief. It was thought that during my time, there was a great criminal epoch, and much of life was a hard struggle, but not to be compared to what I now realize on earth. We have been so repelled by darkness, ignorance and superstition that, for the most part, we have been powerless to modify them for man's higher unfoldment. 612. And now so many doubt our existence that it is hard for us to approach and work in the earth conditions, and in the higher realms, we have such real pleasure that we little desire to recall the old earth trials, but for the good of your world. We sometimes do. You are all going, journeying this way. I hope many of you will meet me over here. I may come again. Adieu. John B. Gough 613. Kind friends, good evening. I am Gough, John B. Gough. The cause of temperance is not as far advanced as it should be. There is, it seems to me, too much disposition to undertake to regulate along the lines of force, and as I see human nature, that is not the best way to develop moral conduct. I so understood while on earth, hence, my work was not in that way. Kindness, not force, is the true policy. You make a mistake when you endeavor to scare people, by painting to them some angry god, with his servant, the devil, executing vengeance by fire. An angry god, executing his fierce wrath by his chief executive, in eternal fire, the people know nothing about, and it doesn't scare them anymore, but they are beginning to suspect something about us, and as they find our existence a fact, they will find a restraining influence to immorality. 614. As I was in the lecture field, I had an experience that may illustrate many in one. I have met that poor soul over here. Early in life on earth, the ways of the world led him on, in that direction, until he became a drunkard. I would plead with him to forsake the bowl, but society carried him right on, it seemed, irresistibly ill, until he was fast in the arms of the great monster, and the monster laughed at an angry god, and his great devil, eternally burning this poor soul. I told him he was dying, dying inch by inch, and plead with him to turn away. He said, I have no friends. I have no place to go. All have deserted me. I will drink, forget my sorrows and be no more. I said to him, you are a man, turn and be a man, a friend to yourself. But he preferred what to him was oblivion, eternally no more to be. 615. Had I known what you know here, I might have saved that unfortunate one, but he soon crossed over. And then I crossed, and soon after, he met me and said to me, that if I had taken your advice I might be living yet. I said to him, you are better off as it is, your willpower was gone, your appetite was so strong. All on earth would not reform his appetite. He could not will away the vile tempter. But many can will the monster down. I guess I have said enough. None of you do drink. Spiritualists do not or should not drink, and at least, not many of them do drink, and I am glad of it. And when the world learns the lessons you are learning, drunkenness, debauchery, crime, sorrow and sighing will begin to flee away. Seance number 36, October 30, 1902. 616. Mrs. Miller's last sitting with this circle for the present. On reading the minutes of previous meeting, Redfeather said that the E.V. Wilson slate writing was not correctly reported. He said that the writing was placed on the inner surfaces of the slates while the slates were closed. Mr. House's version was that the spirit opened the slates to view of the circle, cleaned the slates off, wrote on the slates, as secretary reports, and handed slates, while still open, to himself. But as most of the circle saw it, after satisfying the circle that the slates were clean, the spirit closed the slates and wrote while the slates were closed, then opened the slates and handed them to Mr. House. After each had stated the matter, Mr. House then saw that he was mistaken on that point. He, as well as all the others of the circle, remembered that Redfeather said, the spirit is writing right down through the slate, but after the spirit had cleaned the slates, he took position between Mr. House, who was on the north side of the room, and the secretary, who was at southeast corner of room. The spirit facing Mr. House, so that the secretary could not see the slates at the moment of the writing, only that they were supported on the spirit's left arm. 617. During the conversation, Mr. House had suggested that he would be glad to hear an explanation as to how the writings are done and pictures drawn on the inner sides of double slates while the slates are closed together. A. and Reed, answering, said, there are several ways by which spirits are able to accomplish this. In this case, the spirit was able to pass force through the slates so that his force under the will of the spirit vibrated through the slates in unison with the spirit's hand moving outside the slates, and thus the writing placed on the inside of the slates by materialized fingertips at end of projected force. R.V. 840-843-618. The spirit Denton came forth saying, Mr. Secretary, it seems the circle did not approve the minutes. House, no, but there was no objection. Denton, well, we on our side entirely approve the minutes. We desire to have the circle review until they are correct, and then have the minutes show they were approved. We desire to make this book a clincher. The more matter authenticated we get before the world, the harder the nut will be to crack. 619. When I look at your people and see so many dissatisfied with their lot in life, and resorting to deathly drugs and other means to end their days on earth, how I shudder at their ignorance of the effects upon themselves of such a course. Many people suppose these self-murderers are insane, but most of them are not insane. They are driven to such rash deeds by circumstances, such as persecution, ostracism, misfortune, being forsaken by friends, so many people do not understand the poor souls. As the world learns more of the causes leading up to suicide, then there will be much less suicide in the land. 620. The positive condition of people in high places is a fruitful cause of much oppression. But let children be taught these things concerning causes of what is deemed insanity, and this would have a civilizing tendency. The conduct of many in high places should be modified, and more attention of people to these things would soon diminish suicides, crime and so-called insanity. Inigo on Missionaries. 621. When missionaries are mentioned, as a usual thing, you draw a mental picture of a lanky lean man or woman, in threadbare garments, with the Christian's Bible clasped to the bosom, and with a countenance so stern that one would never dream of its seriousness being broken by as frivolous a thing as a smile. 622. We are going to tell you of missionaries tonight that bear no resemblance to the above description, missionaries from the higher spheres in the spirit world, men and women who have passed through varied experiences upon earth and in the spirit spheres, and who have chosen to become teachers, not of the gospel of Christ or Muhammad, but of life eternal. 623. It is their mission to seek spirits in the lower spiritual spheres and teach them to so develop themselves, spiritually, that the conditions around them will not be such that shut out all light. They, the missionaries, tell them the history of their own lives in the spirit world, and in this way, try to give them a practical demonstration of the things they wish to teach them. 624. All are not ready to learn the lessons, for many, so soon as they find that their progression depends upon their own exertions, will not even listen to what these kindly souls have to tell them. So many would like to be in better surroundings, but they seem to have no desire to better their conditions if it requires any work or sacrifice upon their part. They wrap themselves in their cloak of selfishness as they did upon earth, and just so long as they do this, they must suffer alone, for selfishness raises a barrier in the spirit world against all efforts of help. A man who murders another may do so in a fit of passion and still be a kindly man at heart. Therefore, when he reaches the spirit world, he will not only accept aid but will seek for it. But one who is selfish will never seek aid, if at the slightest expense to himself. 625. Neither the world in which you live nor the spirit world is a one-man concern. As the missionaries of earth are supposed to seek the spots that are unlighted by Christianity, so the missionaries here seek to find those in spiritual darkness. 626. There are many so-called heathen races who are far ahead of the Christian people, morally and spiritually. Can you find a man or woman in your neighborhood who will follow, minutely, the teachings of Christ? He brought a message of peace and goodwill to all. Do you think it is Christ-like to live as many are living upon earth today? 627. Seek for and accept the good in everything, and at all times, endeavor to place yourself in your friend's place before you come to a decision, and before you pass judgment upon others, learn to know that you are far from perfect yourself, and that what seems wrong to you because someone else is guilty of it may appeal to you in a different way. If you would become participants, be missionaries, carry the light into darkened places. By this we mean for you to so cultivate the spiritual part of you that you will be a shining example to all. Let the light of your soul light the way for spiritual development to others. You cannot expect others to benefit by your teachings unless you live a life in harmony with these same teachings. Signed, Ingo. Cornero, a typical initial experience in spirit life. 628. Friends, I well remember the joyful, anxious moment when I first became acquainted with my own existence in the spirit world. I was quite ignorant of what I was, or from whence I came. I opened my eyes, what an addition to my surprise! Exclamation mark. The light of day, the verdure of the earth, the crystal of the waters, all employed at once, and animated and filled me with inexpressible delight. I at first imagined that all these objects were within me, and made a part of myself. Impressed with this idea, I turned my eyes to the sun, its splendor dazzled and overpowered me. I shut my eyes once more, and to my great concern, I supposed that, During this short interval of darkness, I was again returning to nothing. Afflicted, seized with astonishment, I pondered a moment on this great change, when I heard a variety of unexpected voices. I heard the whistling of the wind, and the melody of the groves formed a concert, the soft cadence of which sunk upon my soul. I listened for some time and was persuaded that all this was within me. Quite occupied with this new kind of existence, I had already forgotten the light which was my first inlet into a new life when I once more opened my eyes, and found myself again in possession of my former happiness. The gratification of the two senses at once was a pleasure too great for utterance. I turned my eyes upon a thousand various objects. I soon found that I could lose them and restore them at will, and amused myself more at leisure with a repetition of this new-made power. I now began to gaze without emotion, and to hearken with tranquility, when a light breeze, the freshness of which charmed me, wafted its perfumes to my sense of smelling, and gave me such satisfaction as even increased my love. 629. Agitated, aroused by the various pressure of my new existence, I instantly arose and perceived myself moved along, as if by some unknown and secret power. I had scarcely proceeded forward, when the novelty of my situation once more rendered me unmovable. My surprise returned. I supposed that every object around me had been in motion. I lifted my hand to my head, I touched my forehead, I felt my whole frame. All of this was distinct and perfect, and so superior to the sensations I had yet experienced that I employed myself for some time in repeating its enjoyments. 630. Upon casting my eyes upon my body and surveying my own form, I thought it greater than all the objects that surrounded me. I gazed upon my person with pleasure. I thought, however, that my sight gave me uncertain information, and resolved to depend upon my feelings for redress. This precaution was of the utmost service. I happened to strike lightly against something, and this renewed my surprise. I laid my hand upon this strange body. It seemed replete with new wonders, for it did not return me sensation for sensation, as my former feelings had done. I perceived that there was something external, and which did not make a part of my own existence. I now resolved to touch whatever I saw, and vainly attempted to touch the sun, and I stretched forth my arm, and felt only yielding air at every effort. 631. I fell from one surprise into another, for every object appeared equally near me, and it was not until after an infinity of trials that I found some objects further removed than the rest. 632. I sat down beneath a tree, the most beautiful fruits hung upon it within my reach. I stretched forth my hand and they instantly separated from the branch. I was proud of being able to grasp a substance. I held them up, and their weight appeared to me like an animated power that endeavored to draw them to the earth. I found a pleasure in conquering this resistance. I held them near my eye, I considered their form and beauty, their fragrance still more allured me to bring them nearer. I brought them to my lips, and drank in their odors. The perfume invited my sense of tasting, and I soon tried a new sense, how exquisite. I had tasted only of pleasure, but now it was luxury. 633. The power of tasting gave me the idea of possession. Flattered with this new sensation, I continued its exercise till an agreeable languor came stealing upon my mind. I felt all my limbs become heavy, and all my desires suspended. My sensations were no longer vivid and distinct, but seemed to lose every object, and presented only feeble images, confusedly marked. At that instant I sunk upon the flowery bank, and another condition seized me. All now seemed once more lost to me. It was then, as if I was returning to my former nothing. How long this condition continued, I cannot tell, as I yet had no perception of time. 634. My next awaking appeared like a second birth, and I then perceived that I had ceased for a time to exist. This produced a new sensation, and from this interruption in life I began to conclude that I was formed to exist forever. New ideas now began to arise, new passions, as yet unperceived, with fears and pleasures, all took possession of my mind, and prompted my curiosity. Love served to complete that happiness which was begun in the individual, and every sense was gratified in all its varieties. Signed, Cornero 635. The two foregoing writings were produced by the typewriter in the short space of 10 minutes, including stops to take out sheets of writing and placing blank sheets in. The spirit using the machine had to stop occasionally to receive the dictation. The sheets of paper contained 300 words to the full page. There are 1,525 words of the whole writing, so that the writing, counting the whole time required, including stops, was produced at the rate of something more than 150 words per minute, and one of the full sheets of 300 words was produced in 80 seconds, making the rate of 225 words per minute. The machine is a second-hand number 2 Remington typewriter, and we are told that an expert operator of a typewriter is not expected to exceed 90 words per minute on this kind of machine, and that on the best and latest machines no more than 120 words can be produced per minute by any person while in the physical. The spelling was nearly perfect, and punctuation was made by the spirit typewriting operator, just as the reader finds it in the foregoing essays of Inigo and Cornero, with but few exceptions, and the spacing of the words was all correct, except in 5 instances. And finally, the reader is hereby informed that the typewriting operator was in sight of the circle all the time, and much of the time he was talking with the dictator, who was in sight of the circle much of the time while the typewriting was being done. 636. Then the artist came forth in the arena, took a blank sheet of sketch paper, exhibited the same circle, pronounced it clean. Then the artist made a crayon portrait of an old gentleman, who claimed to belong to higher spheres, and the picture so emblems. Seance number 37, November 2, 1902, 637. Minutes of previous meeting read and approved. Before going into seance room, the circle considered the question as to what is the compensation of the persons passing into spirit life while an infant. On opening seance, the spirit, 638. Professor Denton, said, it seems there are some questions that the human mind is not able to understand while in the earth life. The compensation of the person passing into spirit life in early childhood is that they escaped the trials, tribulations, lights and sorrows, darkness and tribulations of the earth life, and are educated away from the contaminations of earth in a home of pure environments, and fitted, without delay, for the conditions of higher spheres, and at once, prepared for the enjoyments found in the society of the higher and purer spheres, and only need a knowledge of the earth life to enable them to perceive the contrast by which they realize their conditions of ineffable delight. But all of this is so thoroughly set out in the two former books, Rending the Veil and Beyond the Veil, that it is needless to discuss it further here. Destiny 639. The question of destiny, too, is thoroughly discussed and rationally set at rest in those books. Why, if you could control your own destiny, I suppose very few of you would ever die, would ever leave the earth plane. You would stay right there in perpetual youthful bloom. But you surely see that destiny is controlled by inexorable, immutable law, which you cannot change, and however you may think you can change the law, the fact remains that you do not change it in the least, neither is there any way for you to get around and escape the law. Why, it is said that one of your great men was shot, and in spite of medical aid, and the prayers of your whole praying world, your great McKinley died, and it is said that another man, wounded in the same way, recovered. Such is destiny, beyond the control of man. When Denton had gone away, the spirit Dr. Reed came forth to second Denton's remarks by saying, 640. Mr. Secretary, when this book is published, you should have it set in very large type, so that people whose eyesight is not good, or is failing, can see the print. It seems that Rending the Veil is in print that is too fine. 641. This remark of the spirit Dr. Reed was provoked by the fact that, many times, persons who claimed to have carefully read Rending the Veil, asked questions that would seem, at least, to be thoroughly settled in that book. Lady Geneva, 647, 642. The artist made a portrait in oil colors, life-size, on canvas 22 by 27 inches, a half-tone copy of which is inserted at par 647. The original being made in the following manner. For a long time the spirits have urged that, if we would furnish the proper material, they would give us portrait work in oil colors, and finally, we secured colors and brushes and two canvases, ready stretched for work, each on a frame of above size, and placed all in seance room, in arena, and on arena table, and after Denton had spoken and gone, and Reed had made his suggestion, some spirit came out of the cabinet having in his hands one of the two large canvased stretches, and presented to the inspection of each of the circle, some of the circle taking hold of the canvas and making close inspection, and each declared the canvas had no sign of any picture on it. The spirit who exhibited the canvas, took it back to arena, and the artist came forth into arena and began work on the canvas, and as he did so, Denton came out at opposite corner of cabinet and began to talk, and the artist rejoined that Denton was out of order, that he, the artist, was entitled to the time on the picture. Denton insisted on his right to the floor, the artist strongly resisted, claiming it as his right, and if he didn't make picture now, he no make he picture at alley, and they went into the cabinet and talked the matter over and Denton yielded, and the artist came right out, as though in great glee, and worked at the canvas a moment, then said, excuse me a minute. I go for more strengthy into the cabinet. And he came again and worked lively a few moments, then back into cabinet for more strength and relayed his form, in this way, four or five times, and in less than 10 minutes from start to finish, the artist handed the finished picture to the circle. Oh, no. There was no confederate, no juggling a previously painted picture on the circle. There never were but the two canvas frames of that size in the seance room, and one of them was blank after the seance, and was there and blank the next day. Seance number 38, November 6, 1902, 643. We had but little report to make at this time because the forces were utilized in the production of the oil painting at the previous seance. Dr. Reed opened the seance by a little talk descriptive of some of the methods of communication in spirit life and necessity for medium to have a permanent home, saying, friends, I wish to inform you that we have wires, magnetic, laid from point to point and all connected to a central station, and from this point to the central station we have those wires connecting us thereto, making this, for this work, a central station. After a system is once established and then the wires broken, it is somewhat difficult to establish another central station, hence the necessity of the medium having a permanent home, and this is one reason why we urge that such home be prepared for our medium. 644. During the waiting hour the circle again discussed the question as to what extent a person may control his own destiny, and how much one is responsible for his own conduct or course in life. Some holding to the idea of free will, others contending that destiny is immutably fixed. On this point Denton again addressed a few words, thus, 645. Well friends, I suppose that I must once more speak of that proposition. I am sorry your minds are not settled on this question. We have tried to explain the whole matter so, as it seems to us, people ought to understand it, and I do not know how to make the matter plainer. But after you would sojourn in spirit life, endeavoring to understand possibly you would see these things. 646. But some spirits do not agree with me. Some are even opposed to seances. Some do not believe that it is possible for any spirit to return in communion with friends on earth. Why is this? Just because all such spirits refuse to investigate. They do not care for anything along scientific lines. It is so much easier to say, well, I just don't believe it, than it is to be at pains to find out. On the other hand, I come to my conclusions after using every available method to find out the truth of the matter. That is the reason these spirits differ from my opinions and knowledge. It is over here just as with you, some on earth, and in spirit life as well, would not give a nickel or spend an effort to know anything. But what we have given you is what we have learned after as efficient research as possible for us to make. 6462. And then Thomas Paine stood forth, saying, Friends, use your reason. We blame no one. We censure no one. All we ask is that you investigate and find the facts, and when thus you have learned the truth, proclaim it, tell it to the people, especially to such as will listen. The only way you can be satisfied is to make your own investigations as to facts, until the force of the facts breaks the truth upon your own inner consciousness. Lady Geneva 647. No politics in her sphere.